nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, and this is where student and online ministers go to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today we're going to talk to my friend Daniel, and it's kind of funny. I hesitate to say his last name right now because I messed it up so many times in the interview before I edited all that stuff out. But it's Daniel Channel, and I even hesitate in saying it, but I said it right there, but it's Daniel Channel, like channel, like the TV channel. And he is one of our video and tech gurus at New Life, and I brought him on because I want to talk about just tech needs that you need or technology that you need to make church online happen. We'll go from the basics. What are some of the basic stuff you need to be a little bit more advanced? And we'll talk about some of those things as well. And we look at it through the eyes of what we at New Life experienced when we first started almost 3 years ago. So I'm really excited to have Daniel on. He's a great guy. And he's got a lot of great insights and input because he's really the tech guy behind the scenes working on all our stuff at Church Online at New Life. So without any further ado, let's get into the conversation now with Daniel. All right. Daniel's laughing right now in the background because I have messed up his name both times I've tried to introduce him in the podcast. So we started over both times. But with me right now is my friend Daniel Channel. Daniel, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I screw up your name so many times. I mean,
I just get in line. Everybody else does too.
No, really? Do they?
Everybody.
I mean, but it's spelled like channel.
Yeah.
But I want to say like Chanel.
Well, it's either that or Chanel.
Chanel. Okay.
I'm not fancy.
All right. Well, Daniel is, he works here at New Life, and I'm not even going to try to describe what he does. I'm going to have him describe what he does because he is a guru of many sorts regarding church technology and video stuff. So Daniel, just tell people, what do you do here at New Life?
My main role here at New Life is video and production. It used to be Sunday morning live production, but now my production focuses on our live stream.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we're talking about today, is we're talking about church technology in regards to online campus, online ministry, live stream stuff. But before we get into that, Daniel, tell people a little bit about you, your background, and also how did you get into video stuff?
Well, actually in college, I got into video work because I wanted to be a writer. Originally, I wanted to make movies. And then to graduate, I had to learn how to edit all the video. That I had to shoot the video and edit it all instead of just writing it. So I got into all of it, and then it just snowballed from there.
That's awesome. I didn't know you wanted to do that with movies. Like Daniel too. He loves movies. I mean, like literally, like whenever I need to talk about a movie, I talk to Daniel because he's seen it or it's on his list. And so let's just ask this question. What's your favorite movie that you've seen recently?
Recently?
In the past few months. We can go back past few months.
Ooh, what did I just see recently? Oh, probably La La Land.
Yeah.
I loved it. That was the only Oscar movie I saw this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I had no time this year.
So were you disappointed when it didn't win the Oscar? Even though you haven't seen the other
ones. Even though I hadn't seen the other ones. No, because, I mean, I loved it, and it was great, but I didn't think it was... It shouldn't have won Best Picture.
Okay, good. All right, well, yeah. I liked it. Anyway, we won't get into that. We can talk for a long time about that. But Daniel also loves all the Marvel superhero movies. So, yeah, we like to talk about that as well. All right, so Daniel, what I want to talk about is let's get into the basics of producing stuff from an online campus when you're doing live stream stuff. If I was just starting off new, we've been doing this for almost 3 years now, like full blown into it. When we started out new, what were the pieces of technology that we needed to start our online presence?
Well, the first update we had to make were our cameras.
Okay.
We were way behind. We were still using tape. Yes, I know that's horrible. So we upgraded to digital and HD. And then we also took it another step further because, I mean, you can live stream from a computer. We got an actual broadcaster through live stream.
Okay, when you say broadcaster, what is a broadcaster?
The equipment that we have, it is an actual portable broadcaster. So you could pick it up, pack it up, and take it wherever. And as long as you've got an internet feed, you can stream from it. But it also runs its own production software as a switcher and whatnot.
And other things. You know, listen, see, the cool thing about Daniel is that, you know, he and I work together on this, but Daniel's the really tech guy on this, the behind the scenes, making sure everything's happening and flowing well. Whereas I'm the kind of, I work as a lot with the chat hosts and do some of the online presence from a face perspective. What really makes this go is you have to have a guy like Daniel that really understands all this stuff, because we had a bunch of meetings leading up to when we went really live on this to really figure out what we needed and whatnot. So, okay, so you need a camera, you need it digital. How many cameras do you need?
You can do just one. It really depends on your setup. If you're going smaller, one camera, maybe two, is fine. Where we have a larger production scale on a Sunday morning, we do a three-camera setup. But there are other places that are much larger than us that go 5 to 10 cameras.
Yeah.
It just depends. But really, if it's small, 1 to 2 cameras will do.
Yeah, and you've done live streams where we've done, like, broadcasted other ministry stuff where we've only used one camera before, mm-hmm. correct? Okay. And when you're talking about a camera that is up-to-date and current, give me a ballpark range of, like, how low can you go on getting a decent quality camera?
I mean, really, as long as something's going to shoot in 720p, maybe 1080, maybe the low ball now, because it's been a while since I've looked at digital cameras.
Yeah.
But yeah, really, as long as you're getting 1080p, you're good to go. Okay. It's whenever you get lower than that, it gets a lot harder to see well.
Okay. Now I know that from a tech perspective, you have the people that are actually in the service doing tech stuff, and then we are outside of the service. You are in your own separate booth. Explain that dynamic. What's the relationship you have with the people in the main auditorium with what is going on happening in your booth?
With the volunteers?
Yes.
Yes. That was a very big change for us, because I'd never had to use a headset to communicate with volunteers on a Sunday morning. It's always been I've been close enough to talk.
Because when we first started, you were in the room with them as well, right?
Yes, it was a nightmare, but we were live streaming from the room. We did not have a studio set up. So the volunteers still had headsets on, but they were still in the room. So if somebody had an issue, they were very close, and I could just walk over and
tell them.
Get them through an issue. So it definitely changed the way that I train and work with volunteers, especially the camera operators, since they are in a different room from me now.
Yeah.
But then actually getting out of the room for the production side helped, because now you don't have to have giant headsets and you don't have to, like, scream into a microphone with the people in the same room as you.
Yeah, and it's funny because when I come into the studio area, and they're talking, I'm like, oh, wait, is he talking to me? Because I'm sitting behind them, and I'm like, oh, no, they're all just talking. And sometimes you're like, having fun and doing jokes and everything like that.
Yes,
right?
It does make things a lot – it makes a lot more fun whenever you have a good rapport with your volunteers,
mm-hmm.
Especially since the majority of the time that you're spending with the ones that are not in the same room as you, it's good to – give them the freedom to be able to still talk over the headset, but, you know, also don't don't be crazy.
Continue to talk to me about volunteers, because, again, in our studio now, let me backtrack a second. So you're saying I'm thinking of every size church here. Some churches may not have space to have a studio. Is it it's possible to live stream without a studio, correct?
Yes, it is very possible.
Okay.
I mean,
it's not ideal.
It's not ideal, but I mean, I've visited other places that they don't have a studio. They have more of like a balcony.
Okay.
But they were still live streaming everything from the balcony, and there were still people sitting near them. But, okay. I mean, really, streaming is pretty – it is very doable.
Very doable.
It's scary at first thinking, I don't think we could do this, but you could totally pull it off.
Okay. Now, it looks like in the studio that you have a separate soundboard for that. Is that necessary to do church online? And then what is it used for?
We found that when we were streaming from the room, we were just getting a mono or a stereo out of the main mix from the room to a camera. Which gave us no control over the sound.
Okay.
And it was good enough for definitely whenever anybody was speaking or just during the sermon. The worship suffered the most from that because the mix for our room wasn't good for online. Okay. So it really didn't sound that great. So once we got a studio set up, it gave us more control over the sound mix for worship, and then also for the speakers later if we needed to add like reverb or anything like that to them.
Okay, and again, we made this adjustment. We didn't have this at first. I mean, it took a while for us to get there. I mean, again, a lot of our equipment that we had to start with was donated to us, were given to us through Exponential, but because we're connected with Exponential. But so, I mean, we didn't have a huge budget to just start investing all this money. We had to be very careful with what we had. And again, even online giving right now, even though we have picked up online giving over the years, it still hasn't produced a bunch of stuff where we can self-sufficiently just buy stuff. We're still relying on the main campus to provide a lot of the tools. So we have another soundboard, and the reason why we did that, like what Daniel said, it was not ideal for the worship stuff. And we said we want worship to sound excellent. We want people to hear an excellent product when they're listening online. Now, again, me, I'm like, I don't have an ear for worship, and so anything I heard, I was like, this sounds awesome. And they're like, well, this and this. All the worship and tech guys are like, no, it's not good. I'm like, okay, whatever. But for average Joe, it may be okay. So you may be able to pull this off for a while, but long term, if you're going to make an investment online, Daniel, you would suggest them to get this other thing.
Sure. Because sure. I mean, it really is. I wouldn't be one of the people that says, oh yes, you have to have this.
Yeah.
Because really, if your worship set in a smaller setting is just an acoustic guitar and a microphone and maybe one other instrument, you will definitely be fine getting a feed from the soundboard into a camera.
Okay.
Or into whatever you're broadcasting from. Because the broadcaster that we use, we could totally just get an XLR feed from a soundboard into the broadcaster.
Okay. Okay, that's cool. Okay, so tell me some pieces of technology as we kind of wrap up a little bit of this. What are some pieces of technology that people are going to go invest in Church Online that they should look into getting? Obviously, you need a camera.
Yes, okay. A camera. Let me pull up my note here. We use a Panasonic AGAC-160.
Okay.
We picked that camera just for the purpose of not just using it on a Sunday morning. It works for broadcast quality, but it was also usable for shooting other videos during the week.
Okay, good.
But there are other options out there. I was just reading about robotic cameras that you can mount on a wall, so that way if you don't have enough volunteers to run multiple cameras, it only takes one person to operate multiple cameras at once.
Okay.
So there's that option. There are other broadcast softwares and devices. We used LiveStream.
Okay.
And we use an HD550. But I know that they also offer other products for different studio setups and things like that.
Okay.
And then the other thing we had to tie ProPresenter into everything because we use ProPresenter in the main worship area.
Okay. And it seems like, again, I'm not a I'm not a big worship guy. You know, I don't have my hands in that. But it seems like prayer presenter is a pretty universal thing that most churches have that in their system. Okay, speak to me about volunteer-wise. To get it just off the ground, basic stuff, what did we need for volunteers? How many would you say we needed?
Well, it was funny because before we were live streaming, we would record just the sermon and post that online. And I had three video camera volunteers that rotated weekly.
Okay.
So once we started live streaming with three cameras, that like tripled our volunteer need each week. So I think we originally had the team at about 10 that I was able to cycle through. But now we've grown to where it's over 20 volunteers.
And they're doing positions such as camera. What else?
So we have camera operators. We have the HD operator or switcher. And then we also have sound operators. And I'm training people to direct as well.
And these are cool. I mean, honestly, these are cool positions. Like, these are positions that television studios and other communication studios are hiring, like directors. I mean, they're really walking through, and Daniel's got his list of things like, hey, they do a complete run through of camera shots and angles that you need to run through. And so they're getting real good training here. I mean, again, they would need more, but I mean, it's not like they're just doing some simple job. I mean, these are really good and detailed jobs that they're getting some good skills set on.
And that's the beauty of it all. I think I only have maybe three of those 20 volunteers that had any video or television production experience at all before volunteering.
And you have a wide range of people helping out. You have teenagers helping out, college kids helping out, young adults, and older people as well. So, I mean, it really is a wide range of jobs that anyone can really do this with the right training.
Yes.
And you sit down, like, for when you do some training, like for a camera operator, how long do you take to train them? What do you do real quick on that?
I usually do one major initial meeting for about 45 minutes to an hour. That way they get an understanding of the tripod, the camera, all the inner workings. I lost my thought. What is it? I'm not so good with talking.
Daniel in person is like one of the greatest people to talk to. And then he said to me before, and he's like, I hate talking. I'm like, no.
Going through troubleshooting.
Okay.
In case, like, if you're in the service and something goes wrong or your tripod starts being crazy, anything like that, I go through troubleshooting things to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then also... I do a lot of legwork beforehand, making checklists and things like that for anybody. So that way, if for some odd reason somebody calls in sick that day, I could just grab any old person that has no training and say, here's a checklist. I can walk you through this. Could you do this?
Yeah. And it's great. I mean, in reality, Daniel and I could talk about this for a long time because Daniel really is one of the – there were a few people that really helped us get this – started off. One of them was Chris that he moved away, but Daniel knows everything. To make Church Online happen at New Life, it's because of what Daniel does and the volunteers he recruits, who he trains and equips. And so he's really the brain behind the operation. So I'm going to ask Daniel right on the podcast right now. How can people connect with you if they wanted to, like Twitter, like what's your Twitter handle that they can? Okay, I know it. It's his name. It's Daniel Channel. I'm going to have a link on the show notes. I set him up for this. He's like, but the cool thing about Daniel is that he actually does check his Twitter. He's not just on Twitter. Like, so whenever I tweet something to him or when I tweet something, he will retweet it or reply to it. So I'll have the link of his thing on my show notes, and you can just click on that and connect with Daniel because he really is a guru on this, and he's really been instrumental on this. Wait, any final thoughts on this?
I really had to check. I have no idea what my Twitter handle is.
Awesome. It's his full name. It's awesome. Whereas I had to do T.A. Pounder because there's too many Tom Pounders. There's not too many Daniel channels that have Twitter like that. So
I lucked out.
You did. Real quick, as we wrap up, something fun to end on. What movie are you most looking forward to seeing this summer?
Oh,
If there's a tie, you can do multiple. But
oh, it's a tie. It's Guardians of the Galaxy and Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, my gosh. Did you see?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm looking
forward. Although Wonder Woman also looks really good.
Wonder Woman does look really good. And so I'm going to have Daniel on again later for a special movie edition. You know, we'll do a fun little movie edition. Because Daniel really is. He loves movies. He would, when his day off would come, he would just go and watch movies.
Every Tuesday.
Yeah. And now he doesn't have every Tuesday off anymore.
Yep.
All right, Daniel, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Daniel. He's awesome. I mean, again, I look forward to him coming to the office every single day, and we just kind of chat just about anything. But, again, he's the guy I talk to all the time when it comes to Church Online from that tech perspective. So I was curious, what stood out to you? Where are you at with Church Online and technology? Are you kind of more towards the basic stuff, or are you getting a little bit more advanced? And what is it that you're looking to do now with your Church Online in regards to your tech needs and your tech desires? So I'd love for you to share it with me at TA Pounder. Look me up on Twitter and share it with me. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me. Again, as always, if you are not a subscriber, definitely get to iTunes and subscribe to it. I've got fresh content coming out every Wednesday. And if you go to ymsidekick.com, I've got fresh blogs and sometimes even a vlog, a video blog that comes out throughout the week as well. So you definitely go to ymsidekick.com. All right, heroes. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the week. And until next time, have a great one.